We're glad that you're here with us. If you're a guest with us here this morning, we just want you to know that we have been digging into some things that may sound a little strange, but what we are pursuing, and we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so what we are doing together is we're pressing into some relational components of getting to know God on a deeper level. So we're going to continue this morning with our prayer and fasting series. And this morning, I just really want to challenge you, and I want you to consider the reality that biblical prayer and fasting, biblical fasting, it creates a battleground. So we're just going to be straight up about this, because there are some things that as you press into this faith relationship with Jesus, there's this constant flushing out of who you are, and sometimes it's painful because we're able to see an intensified battle even more. So we just want to be honest and talk about that this morning. Now, last week, a couple weeks ago, we talked about motivations or reasons for New Testament biblical fasting. And by no means is this list conclusive, or it's not a full list. But let me just throw out a couple. Evaluation. What takes place? What are some of the motivations? Evaluation, relationship closeness, identity, clarity, illumination, guidance, relational dependence, deliverance, repentance, lament, freedom. Another one is actual ministry separation. You just see that. We'll talk about that in the weeks to come. So like this morning, when we're talking about biblical prayer and fasting and the battleground, I circled evaluation on my sheet. I also circled relational dependence. And be really honest with you, of this list, I could have circled two or three more because of the things that are flushed out. Now, last week, Pastor Chris, he dove into the deep water of freedom. I called it an amazing scratch and sniff. You just got started on that, brother. That was some good stuff. We considered the weighty and the sinful things that hold us down and hold us back from walking in God's loving power. And here's the thing, I'm going to remind you again this morning. What we are doing here, we're not trying to force anybody. We're not trying to coerce anybody. We're not trying to put anything. We're just trying to share the teachings of Scripture, because we want each and every person to make a personal choice to believe in Jesus as the Son of the living God and make Him your Savior and Lord. That's our goal. So this is all just about, hey, if you want to press in, then praise God. We want you to be here. We want to help you with this. But as Chris was talking about these things, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, if you haven't written those down, if you haven't looked at those, or even if you haven't listened to the lesson, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to what he dove into last week, because it's worthy of our continued evaluation, because we do not need to carry the weight of sin in our lives. None of us need to do that. Christ came and lived and died so that we don't have to do it. But I do want to say this, because I've had some of you be really honest and straightforward with me. I understand, but for some of us, change by faith is terrifying. And as much as we don't like the weightiness of our sin, we're comfortable with it. You get what I'm saying? Like we kind of understand it, even though we hate it and it affects us. And we want to encourage you this morning to take baby steps of faith to launch out there. Prayer and fasting help us to lay aside what is holding us back so that we can live freely in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember, we're not teaching this as an obligation. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more this morning. We're not trying to lay some heavy yoke on anybody. But rather, we are teaching this as an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to take steps to get closer to our relationship. Think about this. A desire to increase faith, grace, and love in your personal prayer relationship with God is at the heart of biblical fasting. Anything that we've been talking about in the Scripture, anything that we're going to look about this morning, has nothing to do with us trying to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. It has everything to do with faith and grace and allowing His love to grow inside of us. We're not trying to do something heavy-handed whatsoever. Biblical fasting, prayer and fasting is all about relationship with Father God through faith in Jesus as the Son of God by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to think about this. Biblical fasting is not just going without food, but going without food for kingdom purposes. There's a huge difference. Going without food for kingdom purposes, which is all wrapped up in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Hey, this morning seems like the morning for me to address some things that have been on our hearts regarding fasting in particular. So please listen to me as I make this. I want to make this very clear. I want to address some dietary concerns regarding fasting. Some of you have some significant physical challenges like diabetes, blood pressure issues, heart trouble, medication regimens, and many other things. We're not going to list them all. This is a thing that's become very clear, and I want to address it this morning. This study, if you are in that category, we do not want you to beat yourself up. We do not want you to feel like you're a lesser person or somehow you're less spiritual because you have physical challenges that keep you from doing certain things. So, some of you, you should consult your doctor or a healthcare professional to ask them about the length and or the strategy for trying to fast. So we're presenting the biblical concept of fasting as a pursuit of closeness to God, but we are not prescribing a one-size-fits-all approach. So let me explain by presenting you with some options. We've wanted to share this, and it feels like this week. Let me just give you some options. As a starter, this is something you could try. A four-hour span of time with no food and only drinking water during lunch from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's something you could try. That's a baby step. How about this one? An overnight span with no food and only water from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. the next morning. You say, but Pastor Tim, I'd be sleeping. You get the point. I'm trying to help you. Okay? It's a good thing. Now, there are a couple of you that you're normal between 2 and 3 raid the refrigerator. You're going to have to address that, okay? But hopefully your spouse or somebody in the household to put a padlock. They can help you out with that. I'm just saying, it's an option. Hey, a fast during breakfast. You understand that we're not trying to put rules and regs. We're just trying to get us to take baby steps. How about we fast during dinner? You could try a 24-hour fast from 7 p.m. to 7 p.m. the next day. For some of you, that would be super extreme. And then there are extended fasts for a longer period of time. What we're talking about is just options. We're not trying to say this is a one-size-fits-all. Like if you don't go out like Jesus did and you fast for 40 days and 40 nights that you're whatever you want word you want to use. No, we're not trying to say that. We're just trying to look at, and hopefully you're going to understand by what we talk about this morning. But let me give you three things that these options are based on. Number one, it's only if you're physically able. We're not trying to ask you, this is an option if you're physically able. Number two, it's an option only if you want to try it. Only if you want to try it. And number three, it's an option only if you have a personal faith in Christ as Savior and Lord. So here's the thing. Our heart is that what we're talking about is all relationally driven. Fasting has a lot of amazing benefits, just in a general sense. But what we're talking about is the biblical record of fasting has everything to do with faith relationship and your heart with God. So this series is not about obligation or condemnation. We do not want you to feel like you're a lesser person or less spiritual if you're not able to fast. Hey, how you doing over there? That's my buddy right there. Have I been clear in my encouragement today? Does anybody have any questions about what I said? Because I think it's super important. We're not trying to discourage anyone. We're trying to encourage and challenge. Any questions about what I just said? Gideon, you have any questions? Yeah, I love you too. That's good. Okay. Today, I want you to consider the importance of a deeper evaluation. Prayer as well as prayerful fasting are means to help us evaluate the battle. And here's this morning where we really are every day. The battle between the flesh and the spirit. Now, we've talked about this. We've used these two different terms. But I want you to consider this morning. Fasting and abstinence are intertwined and overlap in so many areas of application. So hang with me and think about this. Fasting is about self-discipline and self-control regarding the food you eat. Abstinence is about self-discipline and self-control regarding many other things in our lives that may control you. It's not food related. It's other things related. But you know, the key thing here is self-discipline and self-control. This is what we're pressing into today. Both of these concepts, let's just be honest, it creates a battleground in our lives. Pursuing either prayerful fasting or prayerful abstinence reveals the internal battleground of the human nature, which the Bible calls the flesh, versus our new spiritual nature, which is the spirit. Galatians 5, 16 through 18, I want to read in NLT, says this, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." What we've been talking about for months and months and years, we want to be a church family where the Spirit of God is guiding us. We're not just doing human things with the church label. No, we are doing God's work. We're learning to let the Spirit guide our lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Now, you can read down through verses 19 through 26 on your own, and you're going to see the difference. When you yield to one versus yielding the other, you have different outcomes. Yielding to one versus yielding the other. So this is all about learning to walk by the Spirit, then learning to be led by the Spirit. Now, here's the thing. We cannot be the church family that we're supposed to be if we're individually not learning to be led by the Spirit and then yielding to the Spirit, because that's what we have to learn to do corporately as a body and as a family, as a flock of God. We've got to learn to let the Spirit help us in our lives. So let me ask you this. What do we naturally do as human beings? Think about this. This is true for all of us, every single one of us here. We naturally walk in our own strength and our own ideas about life. This is what we do as human beings. Every single one of us this morning, we have that in common. We try to figure things out on our own. Just a human way. I'm not saying that's bad. We just naturally pursue what makes sense to us personally. So a lot of times when I'm talking to people, I just say, "What's your normal?" Well, my normal is the way I grew up and what I grew up around, and my parents were divorced and I had a stepdad and all this stuff that was going on. That was my normal. And so I was just trying to figure out life based on what I'd experienced. And so that's what we all do. We try to figure out what makes sense based on our experiences, and we try to get traction in life and we try to figure things out. So here's the challenge for all of us, myself included. When we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, His Spirit comes to reside in us, and now all of a sudden, what I naturally would think or respond to, there's this conflict inside of me because the Spirit is trying to accomplish greater things in my life. So in the Bible, flesh refers not just to our physical bodies, but to the part of human nature that is opposed to God and prone to sin. The flesh represents our fallen, corrupt state that seeks to fulfill sinful desires and passions. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, those who live according to flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and we know what does that result in? Death. On the other hand, the Spirit represents the new life given by the Holy Spirit to those who belong to Christ. When a person becomes a Christian, they receive the Spirit of God within them, empowering them to grow in sanctification and resist the desires of the flesh. I'm going to read a bunch of scripture real quick to help reinforce the point. And this is what I want to say before I read these. You realize that we're all in this big boat together in regards to this. Tim Duggins still has a war, a battleground that takes place inside of me. And can I be really honest with you? And I want to say it at this point, because some of you over the last 4 or 5 weeks, you've taken baby steps of faith to press in more, to share your heart, to pray, to talk to God. And some of you have gotten your tail kicked and you've gotten scared and you've kind of backed off. I get that. And so what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to be there to encourage one another, because what you have experienced is this battleground experience, because you're pressing into the Spirit and the forces of evil want to resist you and your own flesh is struggling. And sometimes what happens in this process is you realize things about yourself that you've been making excuses for, and you're like, ooh, that looks really ugly inside of myself. I don't like that. But the reason that the Spirit of God is revealing that to us is so that we can give it to God and live in freedom and have a joy that we never thought that we could have. So follow along with me. Galatians 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Stop right there. Big difference between this being true and us knowing how to make it true for ourselves. You see the rub here? Because the Spirit says, this is true in your life, and your flesh says, I don't know. I still got all kinds of struggles going on. And then who do we believe typically? Ourselves. That flesh voice. Let's read on. But it's Christ who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh. You understand? None of us get rid of this battleground. We're going to live the rest of our days in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Some of you right now this morning, what you need to stop and realize that God loved you. He gave his Son on your behalf. And whether you can accept it or not, he's got more love toward you than you can fathom. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 through 26 in the NLT. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, they've nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. This has happened whether you've actually physically or mentally done this or not. Do you see the challenge here between this deep spiritual stuff? Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Romans chapter 6, verse 19. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. Anybody else can relate to Tim Duggins? You feel like you got some weakness going on? You got some battle lines taking place? This is what he says. For just as you present the parts of your body as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your body's parts as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. James chapter 4, verse 1. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Why can't we get along? Is the source not your pleasures that wage war in your body's parts? These passions, these pleasures, these things. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as foreigners and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Now, I do want to encourage you at this point, because a lot of you, your understanding of Scripture, when you see the word lust, you just think it's sexual. And can I just tell you, it is a much bigger application than just sexual stuff. It applies there in a lot of cases, but it's these passions, these cravings, these desires, and sometimes it can be even for what we would consider good things that get twisted. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. To make no provision of the flesh means that we should not plan or provide opportunities for our sinful nature to indulge in sin. Our flesh is that part of us that still desires to sin. Can we just be honest about that? That we all have that struggle. Don't make it easy for yourself to give in to temptation. Seek the Lord through His Word in pouring out your heart in prayer and be filled with His presence. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I also want to mention, if you don't know, you can go back and reread Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. The Apostle Paul reveals some very powerful truth to us in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. And this type of spiritual nugget could be easily overlooked in our narcissistic, feel-good-driven culture. But hear the words of Paul that he said to this church in Corinth. Do you not know that those who run in a race, they all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who just beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Do you see how that prayerful abstinence, prayerful fasting, but even just trying to press in to a deeper, heartfelt conversation with God, which a lot of you, we've talked about this, you're still struggling to believe that God loves you, that Jesus came for you, and so we have these twisted views of even just communicating with God, like somehow we can't be honest and truthful with Him, and there's such a beautiful freedom in just being able to press in. Gotquestions.org. I mentioned that. I want you to use it as a resource. Look up some things if you have questions. The goal of the prize for each believer is to become more like Christ in heart and action. This is accomplished by the transformative work of the Holy Spirit. Believers do not buffet or discipline their bodies by doing more in their own strength or by following a legalistic, performance-based religion. We talk about this all the time. A lot of us are trying to put that behind us. Rather, the true Christian life is lived by faith because of grace and love. A believer continues to buffet or to bring into subjection his or her body for the sake of Christ by practicing self-control through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is similar to the way an athlete disciplines his or her body with strict self-control, which includes diet, exercise, sleep, lifestyle choices that are highly regulated. A believer patiently endures the tests and trials of life to grow in Christ-likeness. This means throwing off sin and anything that ensnares. Learning to press into prayer creates a battleground. If you have been trying to pray more, you understand that sometimes what happens when you try to share your heart with God more, things get flushed out, and all of a sudden, this battle between the flesh and the spirit comes to the forefront, and sometimes we step back in fear because like, oh my goodness, all I'm trying to do is talk to God. And yet what we fail to understand is that the Spirit of God is responding to us and He's trying to bring things to the surface so that we can release those to the Father and live in freedom and joy and something more amazing. Learning to prayerfully deny yourself through fasting or abstinence also creates a battleground. This is what I want to say. to you personally and to us as a church family. Let's fight to win the battleground for our freedom and joy. Like we said earlier, we're not trying to put a yoke of bondage. We're not trying to put something heavy on you. We're trying to give you some deep things that Father has revealed and that we've seen other people live out. We want this to be a freedom-filled, joyous family through all the different personalities. Let's encourage one another to learn self-discipline and self-control so that we can learn to love the Lord and learn to love others. I want to ask you a hard question. Do you think of my wife and I do what we do every single week and lay ourselves out and sacrifice to love you and to love other people because we somehow got a happy pill that we get every morning? I am so thankful that you allow us this privilege. Make no mistake. But for some of you, I'm asking this question because I want to confront you that we are able to do what we do by the grace of God because we are very disciplined and we have to live with self-control. There are so many different things, there are so many different choices that I have to continually learn self-discipline and self-control so that I can keep my priorities straight, so that I can make the decisions, so that I can spend time to learn to love God privately, so that then I can invest and learn to love you the way that you need to be loved and cared for. Are you tracking with me? There's no easy switch. There's no easy button that I get to hit. I have to make the hard choices to discipline myself, to discipline my body, to discipline my mind, to discipline my soul. Because can I tell you what I have every single day? This incredible battle that rages inside of me. You say, Pastor Tim, you still struggle with your flesh? Oh, you would kick me out if you really knew. But you understand what I'm saying. None of us are immune to that. None of us are better than anybody else. This is a common human struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Let's serve our Lord by serving others through love that sets us free and brings unspeakable joy. I love being able to serve you and the people in this community. But it doesn't happen by accident. And what God is calling this church family to, brothers and sisters, I'm just telling you straight up, we need more and more and more and more and more people to step up and just simply do what God has already gifted you to do and what God is calling you to do for us to be the healthy body. I'm going to close by reading Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Those of you that have believed in Jesus, this is a used to be statement. You used to live in sin. Notice the tense here. You used to live in sin. Just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live this way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God, who is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, that we have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us. as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us, we're not going to be able to boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. But the way that we figure this out is this process as we press in deeper to our faith and our belief in Jesus Christ, as we get to know him for who he is, not what some church or what some theological group has told us about him, but we begin to get to know him for the one true God that he is. What takes place in this process is we realize that there is a real battle taking place. And you have to press into God's love because we are hated. There are forces of evil that hate us. And then what makes it even more challenging is that the scripture makes it very plain. I'm still in this flesh. I'm still wrapped in this body. I've got all this humanity that I'm trying to figure out, how do I let the Spirit of God rule and reign in my life when I've got all these things going on? But I want to leave you with this. Greater is he that is in you, if he's in you, than he that is in the world. And so this battleground, I want to encourage you. The Spirit of God wants to use this interface, this battleground, to make you stronger, to purify you and make you more like Christ, and to give you a joy and a freedom, and to give you a mission. Every single one of you that believe in Jesus Christ, can I tell you something? You have a mission from God that only you can walk in. And when you choose to walk in that, you make us healthier. And we're living in that. We believe that. We need you to be the healthy church. This is not a small group. No, this is us. So I want to encourage you, in the battle, can you come up here? Sit down right here. Come here. Stand up. Okay, she's looking at me like, okay. No, come here. Come here. This is how simple it is. Young man, amazing young man. We just stand next to each other. Sometimes we make this harder than what it needs to be. And there might be times where in this battle, I'm just tired. I'm getting beat up. That's how simple it is. So many of you are coming from church backgrounds where you get down and people push you down, people beat you up. What we just modeled for you is how we're supposed to be with each other in the battle. We're just supposed to be there for each other. Thanks, man. You did awesome. Let's stand and let's worship with our team as we wrap things up.